Let's start in verse 22 then.
Where are we?
Hebrews 10. We're going to finish Hebrews 10, or part of it. Just shut up, Tristan. Now look at her. She's got that self-satisfied grin.
Yeah, you got that. No wonder the children grow up.
Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful but promised. The only thing that noteworthy there is our is not, it's in italics, so it's not in the original text. We hold fast the profession of faith. What is that profession? That Jesus exists, or that he was? No, the profession of faith is that it's finished. You started out the process by believing that Jesus was a viable possibility, then you started believing in him, and now you go to the point of living by the faith of him. So your faith is meaningless. You don't have the faith to finish breakfast.
But you can have total faith in his faith.
Well, you just, by your death, that's all. You, as long as you're alive, then you're still living in the double-minded life. Everybody understand that? The only way that his faith, the only way we hold fast the profession of faith without wavering is by constantly mortifying the flesh, reckoning it crucified. Otherwise, then you're going to run around trying to get more faith, and you'll take lessons, and somebody will write a book on how to get faith, and it's just goofy. It's like it's not even the same world. I don't know where they get this crap. Can I make that any clearer? And this is interesting. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The only good works are the works that proceed from his love. The only good works, therefore, that which proceeds from, not something. We read that and we hear good works, so maybe we got to do something. Right? All right, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, does that mean that you should try to get people to come to Bible study? No. That's not our business. Our business is to show forth what? The futility and emptiness of human effort. But if you try to get somebody to do something, then you're back. You're just another Pharisee, right? Is that what you wanted me to talk about?
Well, yes. And if you have a group of people who have indicated that they are committed to each other and responsible to each other and submitted to each other, et cetera, in other words, a Seder group. And 90% of that Seder group gradually wanders off into the night, but shows up once in a while, all smiles like everything's fine.
Everything is fine.
No, everything's not fine. There's a spiritual condition there that needs to be confronted. No. Exhorting one another, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Am I not right?
Well, yeah, but you're not.
Yeah, but whenever you end up with that, probably.
Well, why not?
Well. Look, I promise you, I can find anything in here alone that possible, and I can prove any point in the universe with the Bible. And you can justify your anger 15 ways from Sunday. I'm telling you that it's not our business whether somebody comes or not. Our only business is to show forth the futility and emptiness of human effort and if you have a judgment, to seek forgiveness. Why?
That's not the way we operate.
That's just crazy.
Well, tell me about it. Talk about it then.
I'm going to go. I don't want to be here right now. I'm going to go.
Then go.
No, I'm supposed to be here. If I'm not going to be here, I've I'm not going to be here.
If 1,000 times, this is part of your performance anxiety. 1,000 times I've told you, if you don't want to be here, don't be here. If you're constrained, then there's an obligation, and if there's an obligation, there can't be love.
There is an obligation.
There most certainly is an obligation. The obligation is love.
No. No, then it's not love.
Well, then I'm just completely... that's just crazy.
We're back to square
one. Oh, God. Well, I don't think this meeting is a good example because...
No, this one here, this particular meeting is for the employees of Trinity Foundation.
Okay, but Bible study.
Bible study is a whole other world.
We would sit in Bible study, and if I sat at the wrong angle with an expression on my face, it would be confronted. To my benefit, it would not be ignored. It would be confronted. Is there a spiritual situation? What is going on here?
Well, because you came in to the Seder and you brought something in with you instead of leaving it outside the door.
Okay, well, if I have disappeared with no explanation for months on end, when I come back in, I'm bringing something with me.
Well, that may or may not be true. But again, in Seder, when you walk through the door, then there's a whole... That's the spiritual life. But to try to talk somebody or shame somebody into coming or not coming, that's goofy. I've never done that.
Well, I'm sorry. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about imputing a motive of trying to get people to come.
Look, if you have as an individual something, and whether somebody has left and got mad and left, or whether somebody just hasn't been coming, if you have something is going on with you, then you go and take care of it person to person. But you don't, it's not like, okay, now,
well, yeah, it's like this isn't addressing what's going on.
The flaw in our body.
You know, this is some abstract take on what happened.
It's not abstract.
That's what it sounds like. Not directly.
If you're talking about the... Are you talking about...
What happened Sunday?
Well, I don't know what happened Sunday.
We had a showdown.
Well, there must be a point. There must be some subject of it.
That's what we're talking
about. 3 people show up
right
on Tuesday and Thursday, and 23 show up on Sunday.
Well, so what?
And they eat and they go home. They don't even come to
the group. That's a Seder group.
And that's who
I'm supposed to open up to.
It doesn't... It's not an issue. If they're not hungry, they can't come.
That's what we said.
Then let it be. They're welcome any time.
Well, we are letting it be, and yes, they're welcome.
But not if again, you remember when somebody left, and I remember specifically when Larry left, and I said if somebody feels like going and talking to them, go do it. But it's not, I'm not going to go chase after somebody. The same is true if somebody comes periodically. I'm not going to go chase after them. If they want to come, they'll come. If they don't want to, they won't.
Do you consider them a member of the Seder?
That's not the issue. The Seder is of the moment. It's a spiritual thing. And so if that's why it's so important. If you don't have enough for this minion, then you go to the house next to you. That's what it always occurs. The coming to a whether an individual member comes is that you can't force that.
We don't want to force it, but we want to confront the issue. Are you with us or not?
You can't. You become cultic.
We've done this for 30 years.
No, we haven't.
We have confronted things. If something's going on, We don't just say, oh, something going on. And
I don't. If they're there, we confront it. If they're not there, we don't.
Well, it was there.
We were there Sunday. They were there.
And if somebody, but it sounds to me like you made a rule.
No. That's what the other people were saying.
The ones who weren't showing up thought we were making rules because that's all they could hear. I don't show up, so I'm bad. And
well, that's true. They're right. If they're not welcome anytime they're hungry, then you've tried to make some rule, some exclusivity.
No, we would try to confront the situation that are we a group? Or are we an eating club?
Well,
that's what it's like.
But the group isn't. You gotta hear this, guys. A Seder isn't some physical group of people that continues. A Seder is what happens. And if you're talking about if you couldn't remember the idea, you couldn't read the scriptures, that's the whole point. And you couldn't even say the what do you call it? The Shema, unless there were 10 at rest. Now, therefore, that's a thing at that moment. It isn't a rule of behavior.
Well, then can we do it with 7, as long as if there's a 7 and we feel...
But again...
You started this with pressing us to be...
If there isn't a minion, and you know it, that you go to the next group.
But you say if there isn't a minion and you know it. Now, that changes the number...
It's certainly not 2 or 3, and it's certainly not probably 4 or 5. I don't know what it is. It's a sense, but I promise you that you will not be able to. You're trying to create a Seder after the flesh. That can't happen.
I don't think that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to address the issue of people who dangle on the edges.
That's fine.
Without any input to that.
That's
condition. Fine.
They can dangle on the edge all they want to.
And then we can just notice it and say, "Too bad."
You don't do anything. You pray for them or whatever, but you don't make it like, "My God, you got to, you know." Look, there were. Probably 3 million mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with Israel. But they weren't in the equation for the mystery until they went out in the wilderness and they got hungry, and then when they got hungry then they ate. But you can't. If you've used what I said about if you didn't have a minion to go to the next group as a means of browbeating somebody, then you've misunderstood what I was doing. I was browbeating you, not the people that weren't there.
We'll have none of this browbeating. Damn it.
I don't know that we were browbeating anybody. But we were trying to confront a situation that we have felt needed discussing. We opened it up before we ate because it was in the air.
Well, and you were confronting something that you admitted that had gone on without being confronted for too long.
Yeah, and nobody was ever even together to confront it. This night they happened, everybody showed up on this occasion.
It happened. Yeah, I mean, probably what happened if you did it as a group thing, I mean... you got to do. If something is troubling you as an individual, you go talk to them. I mean, you don't. It's like we're trying to make group. I don't know. Maybe I'm not hearing right what happened, but.
But we don't seem to be communicating well on this point.
Well, I mean,
just with one individual person.
I don't see what the difference is between this and an on-time speech. It's the same damn thing.
Yeah.
But the on-time speech is to those that want to be there.
This was, too.
The people that were there.
There was no problem. In the beginning of the conversation, Angela was sitting there going, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I just don't want to come." And 20 minutes later, Angela was going, "I never thought about the fact that other people needed me."
Well, if that, I mean, it may have worked fine. I'm just saying that if you make it seem like it's a... if they're guilty by not being there, then you've made an error.
We didn't make it seem like their own heart convicted them because they,
Well, I don't know who they is, but
some people got it and some people didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the ones that didn't, then you better confront. You better apologize.
To the fact that they didn't get it?
No. To the fact that they feel like there has been a rule now. Anybody is welcome anytime.
To Sunday meal.
To anything. Any part of it. Anybody can come here anytime.
Yeah. Actually, anybody who walks in the door probably is.
Yeah.
But if you start making rules of attendance and behavior, I mean, you can't do it by rule. You have to do it by whatever's going on at that minute. But if they heard that as it's some kind of rule of behavior, then somebody owes somebody an apology. And again, from Harry's always troubled by this because it always seems to him that somebody else is getting by with something and he's been faithful and he's not getting the respect he deserves. I mean, that's in a nutshell.
It's like the parable of the kingdom where, I got to take care of my family. I got to go, my animals need to be fed. I got this to do. God says, fine, go do it. I'll get people from the hedges and highways to build the feast. And that's what the field is.
Well, it's how about the one that talks about the wages, the one that worked there 8 hours and he was paid the same as the one that came 5 minutes?
It's not relative.
It's exactly relative. And somebody owes somebody an apology. If the sense of this is that the people that don't come when you think they should come have a sense of there's a rules of behavior or performance to required, then you owe them apology.
Well, you're right if that's the case. If that's the way it is. But I think there's more to it than just somebody owes somebody an apology.
Well, it doesn't matter what it's the bottom line is somebody can come here any time they want to. But if you heard what I said about meeting with the next group as some kind of encouragement to get all those other people to come so you wouldn't have to meet with the next group, then you heard wrong.
That isn't what was going on. That is not what was going on. Part of it was, for me, was last Tuesday when you said something about, you need to open up, you've got to share, those are the things you have to share with your Seder group. And what comes up in me is, I don't have a Seder group. I have 2 or 3 people that show up.
Then meet with the group next to you.
But that's not how we define Seder groups. We've never defined it in the moment. I mean, it's only in the last, 2 years that this has even come up. Our Seder group has always been the Bible study. The one we have Seder, actual Passover Seder with. And that's been all the craziness that's gone with Bananas and Butners. Coming together because there's a lot of problems with that, we haven't discussed this.
We are now.
Yeah, we're discussing it, but you're discussing it as a fait accompli, and it's not that way. That's not what's actually happening. So if we're going to discuss it, we're going to have to, open up and discuss it among the elders.
Since you've gotten sick and stopped being around at night, this place has disappeared from that end of the street. I don't know. It appears that the Rutledges have a halfway decent number of people that show up Tuesday and Thursday and participate in work days and are still a Seder. But from where I sit, this place has disappeared. It's a lunch group. It's a dinner group. It's a Sunday group. Some people come over to hear you talk on Sunday night. But half our group disappears after they eat. I mean, we'll be cleaning up and looking around and everybody's gone. It's not what it was.
But stop a minute. You got to remember something. Maybe what's missing here is all the experiences I went through before we ever became anything. I mean, I had Bible studies and nobody came, week after week after week.
Well,
But you still have a Bible. We did too. And it still was a Bible study. And they're having a Bible study and nobody's coming. So where do you...
I can interrupt.
No, wait.
This is for me, this is the crux of it. We're not talking about strangers coming in off the street. We're talking about people who for the last 5 years have expressed their being a part of this body, of their commitment to one another. I mean, we're not talking about strangers. We're talking about people who decided to go off and pick up their life and disappear and have fallen asleep in life chasing vain shadows.
Okay, then again, no matter what it is, if you think that somebody is in that position and you're upset about it or concerned, then you go talk to them as an individual. But if you confront it, this kind of a thing, as where it's perceived as some kind of a rule, or you don't come every Tuesday and Thursday, or every time we have a meeting, or something such crap, then you're, you know, or something, you're doing something wrong. What's different than that?
This was talked about as a situation. It wasn't any one person doing something wrong. We were talking about the state of that body is what we talked about.
Well, I'm talking about how obviously people heard it.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. That's what I do when you say something I don't like.
Or when you say
that's what people do.
And I ignore you until you come and talk to me.
That hurts me more.
Well, I agree. They didn't show up last night. We were just... Wait till they come to talk.
But again, that's all of this isn't the issue that I'm concerned with. I'm concerned. That'll take care of itself over time. I'm concerned where if you have that need for the Seder thing, that when you during the meeting that you join with the next group.
Fine.
Not trying to get people to come.
That's fine with me.
We're not going to. This won't be. This isn't. Nobody would understand what this is about anyway.
I'm going to stay where I need this meeting every morning, and I need the Tuesday night and Thursday night and Sunday night meeting.
But all I'm saying to you is if you feel a lacking with regard to the number of people or the fellowship of it or whatever it is. Then you should join with the next group until God adds to the number. It's not you can't add to the number. It's God has to have to add to the number.
I don't disagree with that. Let me just ask you one more question. I'll shut up. What do I do with this feeling? I feel when I look around, like we're cleaning up Sunday night, I look around and everybody's gone except me and maybe two other people. Or on Tuesday night when we sit down and we look around and there's four of us.
I
feel deserted.
Well,
what do I do with that?
You feel deserted.
Just see it as a fleshly feeling, and
you right. You're bearing. It doesn't have anything to do with you. Are you going to continue with him in his test, or are you going to react to your test?
Well,